Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's special edition of Health and Longevity, I will be speaking on attitudinal healing and relationship therapy in cancer. Your attitude is everything in the prevention and treatment of cancer. The information I will share with you today comes from a chapter I wrote in a book called The Key to Cancer. Now, this book is no longer published, so I thought that I would share this information with you on our radio show today. But before we get into today's exciting topic, here's a special message about the Health and Longevity Radio website.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl discusses vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Today I will be talking about attitudinal healing and relationship therapy. Your attitude is everything in the prevention and treatment of cancer. Now, this is a chapter that I wrote in a book called The Key to Cancer. And unfortunately, this book was published several years ago and is no longer in print. So I thought I would make this information available to you, our radio listening audience, so that you can have this information as the book is no longer in print. Today's scientific research has well established that our attitude means everything when it comes to our own personal health and wellness. As a result, the field of mind-body medicine has become an emerging medical discipline in 21st century medicine. Our attitude of mind is a powerful healing force. Positive mental attitudes can lead to health, wellness, and healing. Negative mental attitudes can lead to sickness, disease, and premature death. Recent longevity studies have shown that centenarians, those living over 100 years of age, tend to have optimistic attitudes toward life, and as a result, have increased health and longevity. When it comes to the prevention and treatment of cancer, we believe that a healthy attitude plays a critical role. While more scientific research is needed in this area, it has been observed that cancer patients who have optimistic attitudes towards life, even with their cancer, have increased quality of life and survival rates. A healthy lifestyle, including optimistic and positive thinking, may even be an essential factor in the prevention of cancer. We call this attitudinal healing. Now, what is attitudinal healing? Is there any other way of looking at the world that changes our experience of life? Is it possible to heal our painful thoughts and attitudes about the past to bring peace to ourselves and others? Is it possible to forgive everyone who we think that has hurt us and to forgive ourselves for our mistakes and for the shame we feel about the past? Can we truly know peace and happiness while living in a world that seems so chaotic and crazy? Can we remove all our self-imposed blocks to love and come to know and trust in who we really are? Can we simplify our lives by recognizing that there are only two emotions, love and fear? Attitudinal healing answers all these questions with an unqualified and enthusiastic yes. The term attitudinal healing was coined by, and its philosophy and guiding principles were first developed by, my good friend and colleague, Dr. Gerald G. Jampolsky, M.D. Dr. Jampolsky is a graduate of Stanford Medical School. An internationally recognized child and adult psychiatrist, Dr. Jampolsky is the founder of the first Center for Attitudinal Healing located in Sausalito, California. Today, there are more than 150 independent centers of attitudinal healing support groups in more than 49 countries. Dr. Jampolsky and his lovely wife, Diane Sorrencioni, Ph.D., who is a psychotherapist, write extensively and travel the world lecturing and teaching about the principles of attitudinal healing. Attitudinal healing is based on the belief that it is not people or conditions outside ourselves that cause us to be upset. Rather, what causes conflict and distress are our thoughts, feelings, and attitudes about people and events. Attitudinal healing involves correcting our misconceptions and removing the inner obstacles to peace. This begins with a willingness to find another way of looking at the world, at life, and at death, to have peace of mind as our goal and a willingness to forgive as our primary function. It is discovering the value we have placed on holding on to our grievances, blaming others, and condemning ourselves, then making new choices to create healthy changes in our minds as well as our bodies. There are 12 guiding principles of attitudinal healing. The principles of attitudinal healing. 1. The essence of our being is love. 2. Health is inner peace. Healing is letting go of fear. 3. Giving and receiving are the same. 4. We can let go of the past and of the future. 5. Now is the only time there is, and each instant is for giving. 6. We can learn to love ourselves and others by forgiving rather than judging. 7. We can become love finders rather than fault finders. 8. We can choose and direct ourselves to be peaceful inside, regardless of what is happening outside. 9. We are students and teachers to each other. 10. We can focus on the whole of life rather than the fragments. 11. Since love is eternal, death need not be viewed as fearful. And 12. We can always perceive ourselves and others as either extending love or giving a call for help. Those are the 12 principles of attitudinal healing. Now, what are the benefits of attitudinal healing? Experiencing ourselves as love. Finding inner peace. Finding happiness. Letting go of fear. Letting go of judgments. Letting go of guilt. Letting go of being a victim. Letting go of our fear of death. Letting go of unforgiving thoughts. Letting go of pain. Letting go of being right and making others wrong. Letting go of blame. Letting go of our fear of the past and the future. Letting go of being a fault finder. Letting go of withholding love from anyone, including ourselves. Letting go of our need to assign guilt or innocence. Letting go of complaining and listing our hurts. Letting go of our fear of intimacy. Becoming a love finder. Counting our blessings. Focusing on love rather than on appearances. Walking through life more lightly. Laughing more. Living a consciousness of giving rather than getting. And recognizing that there is something greater than ourselves. Let's talk about these 12 different principles of attitudinal healing. Principle number 1, the essence of our being is love. Now, this principle lets us know that love cannot be hindered by what is merely physical. We recognize that the mind has no limits and nothing is impossible. Disease can be prevented, and all disease is potentially reversible. The very essence of our being is really love. Let this love shine through us to others. Principle number 2, health is inner peace. Healing is letting go of fear. Healing comes from letting go of fear. we recognize that changing our body or goal is to fail to recognize that our single goal is to have peace of mind. Having peace of mind or inner peace is what leads to health and healing. Principle number 3, giving and receiving are the same. In this principle, we discover that when our attention is on giving and joining with others, fear is removed and we can accept healing for ourselves. Principle number 4, we can let go of the past and of the future. We can experience inner peace when we let go of our attachments to the painful past and the fearful future and learn to live in the present. We do not remember God when we're focused on our hurts of the past. Principle number 5, now is the only time there is, and each instant is for giving. Pain, grief, depression, guilt, and other forms of fear disappear when the mind is focused in the loving peace of this instant. We learn to live in the present and not allow thoughts of the past and or future interfere with the joy of living we can have today. Principle number 6, we can learn to love ourselves and others by forgiving rather than judging. Forgiveness is the greatest healer of all. It is the way to true health and happiness. We can learn to see everyone as a teacher of forgiveness. Each moment gives us an opportunity for happiness, peace, and love. Principle number 7, we can become love finders rather than fault finders. Regardless of what another person's behavior might be, we can always choose to see only the light of love in that person. We can learn to look for the good in others instead of the wrong in others. By seeing love in others, we too can experience more love within ourselves. The world becomes filled with love if we allow it. Principle number 8, we can choose and direct ourselves to be peaceful inside regardless of what is happening outside. Despite the cancer that we may have, despite the chaos in our lives, we can choose to be peaceful, knowing that we are connected and sustained by a loving, peaceful God. Principle number 9, we are students and teachers of each other. Inner peace can come to each of us when we recognize and demonstrate that all our relationships are equal. Principle number 10, we can focus on the whole of life rather than the fragments. We can learn to focus on the whole of our life instead of just the fragments or parts of our life that may have been unpleasant or negative. For most of us, when we look at our whole life, we can see what a wonderful life we have lived despite the few hard times we may have had along life's way. We can focus on the many blessings that we have had in our life. This principle is an illustration to us to believe that our lives are not separate from each other. Healing comes when we focus on our interconnectedness with each other and all living things. Principle number 11, since love is eternal, death need not be viewed as fearful. We can begin to let go of our fear of death when we truly believe that what is real never changes and that love is always present. Love is eternal and cannot be stopped by death. Principle number 12, we can always perceive ourselves and others as either extending love or giving a call for help. Rather than seeing anger and attack, it is always possible for us to recognize a call for help and to answer with love. Attitudinal healing and mind-body medicine. By changing our attitude and by personally applying the principles of attitudinal healing in our own lives, we can tap into the power of using our mind for better health. Attitudinal healing is a vital key to the science of mind-body medicine. Martin Seligman, PhD, in his outstanding book, Learned Optimism, presents scientific evidence confirming that people with optimistic attitudes have better physical health and may even live longer. In 2001, Dr. Richard Davidson of the University of Wisconsin demonstrated that the more consciously we choose our attitude, the more confident we become in addressing stressful situations. Dr. Fred Luskin's Stanford Forgiveness Project at Stanford University substantiates the positive impacts of forgiveness on subjects' immune function. Based on his scientific research, this groundbreaking study from the frontiers of psychology and medicine offers new insight into the healing powers and medical benefits of forgiveness. Literally hundreds of studies have shown that a strong social support system protects people from the negative effects of stressful life events. A strong social support network is at the heart of attitudinal healing approach to health. Attitudinal healing support groups are offered throughout the world. To learn more about attitudinal healing support groups nearest you, visit the website at www.attitudinalhealing.org. That's www.attitudinalhealing.org. When we look at attitudinal healing and its relationship to cancer, we see these relationships. When it comes to tumor burden, attitudinal healing has no negative effects. When it comes to immunity, attitudinal healing has positive effects. When it comes to energy, attitudinal healing has positive effects. When it comes to hope, attitudinal healing has positive effects. And when it comes to pain, there are neutral effects regarding attitudinal healing. Cancer patients who apply the principles of attitudinal healing in their life as part of their therapy can greatly benefit by improved quality of life. Attitudinal healing can be a powerful tool in helping the cancer patient cope with many personal challenges that they experience during their treatment. I wish to thank Dr. Jerry Jampolsky and Dr. Diane Cerencioni for their pioneering work in teaching me and millions of others around the world the principles of attitudinal healing. Well, I hope you found the information today on attitudinal healing and relationship therapy, your attitude is everything in the prevention and treatment of cancer, helpful and informative today. And I want to mention that even though we talked about attitudinal healing and its effect regarding cancer, I want to mention that attitudinal healing is an important part of our total health and wellness for any prevention of disease, and so that we can also enjoy optimal health by applying the principles of attitudinal healing. Now, there are some books that Dr. Jerry Jampolsky has written that I do recommend that you might want to take a look at. He's written a few different books that may be helpful, and you can find them online or at your local bookstore. Dr. Jerry Jampolsky, that's J-A-M-P-O-L-S-K-Y, he's a physician, M.D., he's written one book was called Teach Only Love, The 12 Principles of Attitudinal Healing. Another powerful book that he has written is called Forgiveness, The Greatest Healer of All. I recommend you get a copy of that book. Now, Dr. Jampolsky, along with his wife, Diane Cerencioni, have written a couple of books together. One is called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life, and also The Concepts of Attitudinal Healing. Dr. Jerry Jampolsky, or as I call him, Jerry, is a recipient of the American Medical Association's highest award, the AMA Excellence in Medicine Pride in the Profession Award, for his invaluable contribution of attitudinal healing to the field of emotional and mental health. I was honored to work very closely with Dr. Jampolsky in establishing the first and only medical center in the world at that time to have a center for attitudinal healing. That was at Castle Medical Center in Hawaii. And that was when I was the director of wellness and lifestyle medicine at the medical center and also became the director of the Castle Center for Attitudinal Healing. A few years ago, Dr. Jampolsky and his wife, Diane Cerencioni Jampolsky, Ph.D., were guests here on Health and Longevity. We talked about the power of forgiveness and how it can play a vital role in our personal health and well-being. Here is a portion of that interview. Dr. Gerald Jampolsky. Forgiveness plays a major role in that, I believe, and I want to talk to you about forgiveness because both of you are leading authorities in that whole field, and that's what your life work is really all about in attitudinal healing. First of all, let's talk about forgiveness. How do you define the word forgiveness?
Well, for me, forgiveness is letting go of the hurtful past. And what that means, in our way of looking at forgiveness, is that it's not meaning that we're condoning or agreeing with a certain act, but we're realizing that when we hold on to unforgiving thoughts, when we hold on to grievances, it eats up ourselves inside, and it causes many of the medical problems that we have. There's much scientific evidence today that shows that lack of forgiveness plays a big role in illnesses today, whether they're organic or not. And that when we find the value in forgiving, beautiful things begin to happen. And the main one is happiness and peace.
Yes.
I would add to that that forgiveness is, I think, ultimately the gift that we give to ourselves of releasing ourselves from the judgments and grievances we hold against another person. Someone defined it once about holding on to a grievance is like taking poison but expecting someone else to die.
That's a classic statement both of you have said over the years. Not forgiving, now I want everyone to hear this, not forgiving is like you drinking a glass of poison and hoping the other person dies.
Right, or expecting the other person to die and not realizing the damage emotionally, psychically, physically, and especially spiritually that unforgiving thoughts and our judgments have, or the toll it takes upon ourselves. But the ego personality self wants us to believe it's the other person that's suffering. So that, one of the reasons we don't forgive, there are many reasons, but is that it has to have a certain form and we have to come together in a reconciliation. And if it doesn't look like that, it's not forgiveness, but we look at that differently. We know that the ego will never forgive, and I think that it takes going to that higher power in your life in order to be able to ask for the grace to be able to forgive. You have to make that choice, and then you are helped with that.
And when we don't forgive, it's another way that the ego has of separating ourselves from our higher power, God, whatever word you might want to use for that. And so the ego would like to see value in not forgiving. So it just says, well, if I forgive that person, he'll just keep on doing it or doing it again. And forgiveness doesn't have anything to do with changing the other person. Attitude healing has all to do with realizing it's only our own thoughts and attitudes that hurt us. And unforgiving thoughts are the top of the list.
So, like, we don't see forgiveness as having a form. We see forgiveness as an internal experience that we have. And then we ask for that grace and guidance. What do I need to think, say, and do in this situation after I've let go of my grievances and my judgments about the other person? And that might be a similar action. It might be to stop the other person's action. It might be to take court action. It might be whatever it is. And so it's not that forgiveness doesn't dictate what we do. It dictates the consciousness that we have when we make that choice.
Well, and this kind of might be going back to some of the other things you just said. It's very, knowing how forgiveness can be so beneficial to each of us, and it's really hard for people to forgive. Why do so many people not forgive? Why do people live lives where they just continue to blame other people?
Because they have a belief. It's all based on belief system.
Okay.
And when people have a belief system that some people do things that are unforgivable, then that's what they're going to do. If they have a belief system that person deserves my lack of love, and deserves my anger, then they'll do that. But when we realize, when we become aware that we're actually hurting ourselves and the ego mind, the ego fearful mind is deceiving us, and that there is great value in forgiving, and it has nothing to do with what happens to the other person. It's about healing our own mind, and as each of us heal our own mind and purify our minds and becoming agents of love and peace, that's how people begin to change the world that we see. The world begins to change because minds are joined, and we give unconditional love. Everyone gets to receive that.
One of the primary aspects around that is that, we think, well, gosh, if we know that forgiveness is so good for us and releases us, why don't we all do it?
Right.
And because we don't do it, because at some core level we see value of holding on to the grievance. And when someone says, oh, no, there's absolutely no value at all, well, ultimately, then, the underlying value is that at a core level, most people really don't believe they deserve the right to be happy. And therefore, they create situations in their lives that where they continue to suffer, and physically, mentally, emotionally, and one of those, by not forgiving, because they continue to suffer. Not forgiving is a way to suffer. Many times we'll hear people say, oh, it's so hard to forgive, and we say, yeah, but it's so much harder not to forgive.
Right. Well, you know, some people, sometimes they challenge, when I talk to the people about this, is they challenge you with the ideas, you know, this person's done so many bad things, there's just no way I could ever forgive them for anything when they did such bad things. And when you forgive someone, does it really mean that you agree or support what their bad behavior may have been?
No, just the opposite. In fact, that's one of the primary reasons that people don't forgive also. It's because they think the other person will agree with them or that justice will not be served, etc. And forgiveness really doesn't have anything to do with that. That's the ego's way of keeping us from forgiving. It doesn't mean the person is not responsible for what they do. Forgiveness is forgiveness ultimately for our judgments about that person. The question is, are we here to love or are we here to judge? That doesn't mean we agree with insane behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, forgiveness doesn't mean supporting another person's insane behavior. That's pathology. It means, what do I do about the consciousness inside of me first? And then I ask for guidance. What do I need to think, say, and do about the situation? It might be to take very strong, clear action. Forgiveness is not passive.
But, you know, the question that we really need to ask ourselves is, when we're feeling that justified anger and murderous feelings, does that really bring you peace of mind? Mm. And I've never heard a person that would say yes to that question.
That's right.
And all of a sudden they say, well, if I really want peace of mind as my only goal, I better relook at what I'm doing because I'm hurting myself. And the essence of really forgiveness, when we're talking about forgiving another person, it really is about forgiving ourselves. And oftentimes what we see in another person is just a projection of something in ourselves. So if we're feeling guilty but we're not cognizant of that, we oftentimes project that out on another person, and all of a sudden that person becomes our enemy and the guilty one.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
That's it for this week's program. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.